That's fun.
Pardon me.
Hooks. Hooks. Why don't you try this?
Place called the Chatterbox out there in West Cove, which never seems that far away, but it's one of those places like that time I went to that Claremont Flappers. You know, I forgot about that place. I gotta look them up again. You don't realize how far it is until you start going. You're just like, holy shit. Like, I forgot how this stuff just doesn't seem like it's that far away, and then it turns out it really is, and you're just like, oh boy, what did I get myself into? Chatterbox. It was out in a weird, you know what's nice about these outlying, like you get 20 miles outside the city, maybe out towards like what the hell is that place I always go, or I've been to, like Norwalk and shit like this. They just turn into little desert towns, and tons of them have these little mom and pop like diners kind of, but it'll even have like it'll almost look like it could be a chain. But it's not. It's like, it's such a production. It's got a big sign and shit. It almost has like a 50s drive-in vibe to it, but it's a little bit... I love those. They always have all kinds of fucking stuff, and like, they're all over the place. I don't know what it is. It's such a thing out there, outside the city-ish, but I love that about that. But it's in this little dinky, shitty strip mall, and I'm just like, oh, God. It looked like a fucking... didn't look like the best area. I don't know, it's hard to tell because it's a fucking desert. It's at night. You can't really see, but I'm like, what the fuck am I getting into here? And I go in, and it was actually surprisingly nice. It was a really fucking nice little place inside there. It had a nice stage, and it was big, and it had couches, and like, it was a fucking cool little room. I was like, shit, this is all right. So I should have gotten up way earlier than I did. I forgot that they, I don't know, I was just kind of like, just so taking the room in. It was pretty crowded, good 25, 30 people in there. Not a giant room, good sized bar kind of thing. And they'll pull the names, there's a handful of mics that do this. They pull the names out of the bucket. I think I'm talking about this, I'm sure you know. But if you go to an open mic, it's a lotto system. Everyone writes their name on a little piece of paper, they throw it in a hat. And forget your fucking hat, that's when you know it's a trip back to Rockaway to get your hat. They pull the names out of the hat. And there's some places like this that when they call your name, then you go up to a list and write your name down in the order that they called you. So they'll be like, Steve Johnson, and he'll go and write his name. And they'll be like, Todd Parker, and then Todd Parker will go and write, he'll be number three, like this kind of thing. Well, she called my name like fourth, and I thought maybe they were just pulling three, because I'd never been there before, and I didn't see a fucking notepad anywhere with names. And I thought that maybe they were calling three or four people. And then by the time she got to like name number like six or seven, I was like, oh shit, I'm supposed to go over there and sign. And then by the time I go over, there's already a huge fucking line of people already waiting to write their name down. So I ended up going like fucking 14th, and I got called like fourth. I was like, you fucking dummy. I was so annoyed. But, yeah. So I'm sitting there and I'm watching, and this is a thing. Now, there's a lot of stand up talk this episode. I'm sorry. That's all I did for the last. I've been just fucking grinding like a motherfucker lately. But, there's this weird thing where I don't understand. Maybe it's everywhere, but I don't get L.A. or California. I don't know what people want in humor. At least at open mics, I don't. Because it's a different animal than an actual show with regular just people that came out for a couple chuckles on a goddamn Friday night. But people just laugh at the most random stuff. And I don't know what I'm missing. I know I have a weird sense of humor. I'm not... you know, I like a lot of mainstream stuff doesn't laugh. I don't get Anchorman. None of this shit. I don't really, but just someone will be like, so, this is the thing. I don't know if it was the area. I don't know if there was regulars at this mic that all knew each other. So that helped their case. But anyone that was super, there was a lot of fat, really fat Mexican guys. But if you were Mexican, it seemed like no matter what you said, it got a laugh. It was really strange. I'm like, what the fuck is the deal in here? Like, are we at the fucking Mexican embassy? Or, like, is this a show in the fucking commissary there? Like, so, I was driving to work today, and I see a guy selling fruit on the side of the road, and it just get a huge laugh. And I'm like, what the fuck is everyone laughing at? It wasn't even a joke there. I don't know. This was a repeating theme all weekend. But particularly in this place, and I'm just like, then they would get to the punchline, and they wouldn't laugh at the fucking punch. They'd laugh at the setup. It was really fucking weird. I'm like, what is going on? So I had no idea how I was going to do, but then there was this particular room was really lousy with people. Three women and one guy who laughed at everything they had a nervous giggle after almost everything they said. He'd be like, guys, I was in the grocery store today, and I see the magazine aisle, and I'm like, oh, well, look at, there's Brangelina on the cover. Like, they did this for like 5 minutes straight. I'm like, what is with the fucking nervous? They laugh at all their own fucking punchlines. And I also noticed, as I mentioned it last week, about crossing your arms, almost every fucking, even people that seem really relaxed and were just, now I'm watching for arm crossing, because Roger Lopez said that to me 2 weeks ago at that mic, and was like, hey, you look nervous, you had your arms crossed. And I was like, now I'm like, don't cross your arms. It's in my fucking head so bad. But, like, everyone does. Everyone. And I even noticed, I had a run of really good fucking sets and mics. And I was like 99% relaxed up there. Totally just fucking chill. Like I was just talking to my friends or something. And even at mics that I didn't know anybody at it. And I still have my arms crossed. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know. You know what? Next time I go to the actual comedy store and watch, I'm going to have a real show at like professional fucking comics or something. I'm going to do an arm cross count. See? It not even bothered me. I'm just conscious of it now. So now I'm always trying to pay attention to it. But I got up there. I did pretty good. I didn't do too bad. Good amount of people saw me and felt good about it, but yeah, that was that. It was a pretty goddamn far drive. I don't know. Maybe I'll do it next time. I can't do the show until a Thursday. Maybe I'll cruise out there again. But the next day, Friday, I had to take some stuff over to my fucking boss. Actually, my old boss, who's second unit DP on Legion. I guess it's X-Men. I don't know. Does that show? I'm vaguely aware that it has something to do with X-Men, I don't know, but they shoot over on the lot, which is the oldest lot, the oldest studio still standing in L.A. It was Charlie Chaplin built it. He didn't actually get the building materials. He didn't get, 2x4s and nails and shit and make scaffolding and actually put the thing up himself, like a pioneer cowboy building a hut somewhere out in Oklahoma. He hired people to do it. And then, he basically he was in charge of the studio and the production of it. All the while, he was fucking 12 and 13-year-old girls when he got pregnant. There's a pretty lascivious history of Charlie Chaplin, if you read it up. Actually kind of a scumbag. Makes guys like Harvey Weinstein seem like a gentleman. He was a pretty bad guy, Chaplin. More like Craplin. So, I'm aware that the Funny or Die offices are in this place, the lot over there in Formosa and San Marco Boulevard. And I said, what I'm going to do? I'm going to drop off the gear to my boss, and then I'm going to take a walk into the Funny or Die offices and say, hey, my name's Luke, and I make Funny or Die videos. How about you hire me, huh? How about I jump on the big team and come in for the big win? We got to keep our heads so this peace craze holds over. I'm walking around, so I drop off the shit. It's raining out. I'm walking around looking for the god. It's not a huge lot. It's not like Paramount or something. It's decent size. It's maybe the size of Sunset Bronson. Who cares? No one needs it. It's not that. It's big enough, but it's not that big. And I'm like, fuck, where? I'm looking. I'm checking in all these offices. I'm trying not to look too suspicious. I'm in a fucking, I'm in like a hoodie, sweater, and short. I look like a fucking, like a teamster. I look like I'm driving one of the buses for the fucking, or one of the trucks for the show. You know what I mean? Not the best presentation I wanted to do. And I'm just thinking, like, I was texting my friends, and they're like, why are you going to do that? And I'm just, because you never know. I read a lot of books. I read books about showbiz history and all this kind of shit and all kinds of stuff. And the best way to do everything from the dawn of goddamn movies until now is to meet someone face to face, or show up, or show that you have balls and that you're I guess earnest. You know what I mean? Like just show up, just be honest, because that's how a ton of people got their start, and a lot of people appreciate stuff like that. Yeah, it probably won't work, but you know, it definitely won't work if I just go home and then don't do it, and then sit all day and go, what would have happened if I walked in? I'm so tired of that shit. And I'm telling you, I'm starting to get better, and 2018 is really putting a fucking foot in my ass to stop this nonsense and get out there and fucking live, damn you, live your life. So I'm like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. What the fuck's the worst that can happen? I mean, these people have tasers and shit, but, you know, pepper spray. But, I find the office. It is like, so I go down, and there's a reception desk at the fucking bottom of these, like, it's a two-story, it looked like Ghostbusters Fire Hall. It was like a two-story fucking building with a set of stairs right next to it. There's a whole downstairs lobby with some offices, and there was a shit, it looked like, there must have been casting auditions or something, because there was a shitload of people down there sitting around couches and sitting all over the place with, like, papers, you know, business papers, like scripts or something like that. And the dude at the desk is, like, 18. Like, just a fucking, just a young, fresh-faced kid, just a classic, like, he's like, I'm not sure, sir. I'm just interning here. I go, I walk in. I'm like, hey, man, I know this sounds kind of fucking weird, but I've been writing and producing for our Front and I page for years, and I write and produce sketch comedy, and I always wondered what it would be like to actually work at this actual place. So is there anyone here I could talk to in, like, development or something like that I could just maybe just say hello and introduce myself and show him my bullshit? And he's like, I just started here literally yesterday, sir. I don't even know any of these people's names. He's like, I don't even know where I would direct you to go. And I'll tell you what, if that was a fucking gimmick by this young man, that's a damn good way to get yourself out of it and not get in trouble for sending, you know, being like, what the fuck are you doing sending strangers up to my office kind of shit? What the fuck is Howard Stern doing outside of my fucking office? Remember? Fuck you! And he slammed the door. Private part. I'm just retired. You hear about that? He's retiring. I'm retired March 31st. He doesn't even talk like that anymore. He's like, I'm retiring March 31st. He's a mess. Guys, all fucked up. He's got Parkinson's. But, so it's Neil Diamond. Scotty, you hear about that one? Neil Diamond is retiring. Canceled a bunch of his dates this year. And I got Parkinson's. I won't be touring anymore. Too bad, Scotty. I won't be able to see my chest hair in person. I don't know. Anyways. So he basically sends me to the desk upstairs. I go upstairs. There was just like cool. It was a cool, like, crazy paint design. And the Funny or Die logo colors. And there was just, it looked like a fucking cool place, like, to work. It was like a bustling, fun, weird production office with just shit and people everywhere. I'm like, fuck, man, this place looks rad. So I go up to the top desk, and I find a girl who, I just love what popular culture and the general population has instilled in people. Just everyone is a fucking, I mean, I understand it. Look, there's a lot of mass killers out there. You hear stories almost every week about somebody going into a place with a gun and killing a bunch of people. I know, but why do I look so apparently terrifying? Why, the second anyone sees me, their eyes just fill with dread. Like, can I help you? Did you have an appointment? Did you have an appointment? Christ, I'm not gonna kill me. I'm like, hi. This chick's eyes filled with fucking dread. She looked like goddamn, I can still, like, remember, I don't know why, I can still remember her face exactly. She looked like, Bryce Dallas Howard. I swear to God, this chick looked a lot like her. She, can I help you? I was like, oh, listen, this might, so I gave her the same spiel. I'm like, this might sound kind of weird. So in the middle of my saying it, I see someone turn around abruptly, and who is it? Nick, the former intern, Adam Carolla show, who I work with a bunch, on those live shows that I did for like a year and a half, almost 2 years. I sort of half interned for Carolla Show, and I went to all their live shows, and I helped out of the goodness of my heart, my own gas and money and time and everything else. And I helped set up and break down, and basically what I do for Pollock Show, I guess, but just any show that was within like fucking 300 miles. I mean, I even drove to fucking Fresno for them. I went, but I don't know. It didn't work. But I don't know. The more I follow that fucking Carolla Show subreddit, I mean, that, I stopped listening to that podcast at least a year ago, but it's just, it seems like the wheels are coming off old Adam. I don't know. I'm kind of glad. I think that was for the best. I think someone out there likes me and was like, yeah, let's let him not get involved with that show, especially the stories, how much they paid poor Nick. From what he told me, I was like, oh boy, yeah, I would have been fucked. But anyways, what the hell's going on up on this fucking, hell's going on this on-ramp? Some kind of accident? Sirens everywhere. I see him, and he's like, oh, hey, man, yeah. He's, like, real business-like. He's like, sorry, we don't take, like, you know, they won't even allow, like, solicitors like that. Like, no one would even, we're not allowed to do it. It has to go through the proper channels and do HR. But thanks, really thanks for stopping by. And I'm just like, the chick looked relieved immediately that he, I was like, Nick, holy shit, I know you, man. And he just gave me this whole spiel, and I was just like, you've been here all this time. You couldn't help me out. You couldn't, I have his phone number. He couldn't text me after and be like, yo, man, this is who you talked to. Help me out a little bit, buddy. Really? You couldn't give me a little fucking nudgeroo? All right. Fuck. So, basically, got politely asked to get the fuck out of their face and left. So it was completely, pretty much useless. But at least I know where the office is. And I tried. I'll tell you why. But they weren't like, I wasn't walking out of the building. They were like, slow motion, like, like people pointing, like, someone dumped their fucking slushy on me like fucking Robert Downey Jr. in Weird Science when I went down the stairs. And, you know, it wasn't like, I wasn't humiliated, but I was just like, well, that didn't go the way I would have liked it to go, even close. I can't, he can't send me one guy to be like, yo, on the slide, be like, yo, man, tell this dude. I mean, that's how stuff works in Hollywood. Everything's on referral. It's just, look, you sound pretty pissed off with that guy, Nick. Yeah, it kind of bummed me out. I feel like he could have, whatever. So, that did not work. But what do I see last night? A big blurb somewhere on, like, IndieWire or something. Funny or Die offices lay off 100 more staff members. I'm like, oh, looks like that place is going under, too. Looks like old Nicky jumps from one leaky ship to another. I don't know. I like him. I don't know. It just bumps me out. Okay, how long am I going to fucking spend on it? We got it. So that went nowhere, but it was funny to walk around a lot and just be like, hi, I'm a guy. I even said that to the girl upstairs, and I was just like, I'm like, I know it's kind of weird, but listen, I read that fucking CAA book, and I know this is how things fucking work, so I just figured, what the hell, I'll walk up and ask and try to see. Right, it's worth a shot. Kiss my butt. Another little side note here. Now there's not is it bad enough that there's the murder of Giovanni fucking Versace movie, where it looks like they glorify the killer. There's also, I see all these on like I follow a bunch of movie news things on Twitter and shit, and like first photos of Zac Efron as Ted Bundy in like Ruthless or something the movie's called, and I'm like, why are we glorifying people like serial killers and things of this ilk? Why are we making these like compelling dramas about them and putting them on the screen and basically making them look cool? I mean, in some effect, you are making them look fucking cool. Like, and they're researching their show, and they're kind of, it feels like it's glorifying. I mean, Ted Bundy, just how many fucking people did he rape and murder and all this other shit? It's like they're going to make a movie with a good-looking fucking star playing him. What the fuck is, I don't, and this is the thing. It's like, oh, this is a movie, and nobody's, if there's no correlation, then why, when they have sports games and shit, and people run in the field, They will not show them. They never cut to someone running across an NFL field or something like that, because they don't want to inspire more people to do it. Yet they'll go and make the fucking 2-hour feature with Zac fucking Efron as Ted Bundy and follow all of his exploits with and you know, in fucking close focus of him strangling people and all this shit. And like really, you don't think that's gonna have a fucking negative impact? And people, I don't get why we're celebrating it. Of all the goddamn things we can make movies for and the zillions of fucking remakes. Like, we got to have this another serial killer movie where we make the guy look like a fucking, look like an unstoppable fucking monster that outsmarts the police. Yeah, that's not going to hurt. And that's not going to inspire any kind of fucking negative events following some asshole watching going, yeah, I want to be that fucking guy who just needs that one little bit more fucking kick over the edge and he's killing. I don't know. It just seems really fucking irresponsible and just disgusting. If I was an actor, I wouldn't fucking take that part of it. No. Did you know Ted Bundy almost got, he picked up Blondie, the singer from Debbie Harry. He picked her up while she was walking home at like 2 o'clock in the morning in New York City, and he stopped to get a ride. And when she opened the door, and she saw that there was no fucking door handle on the passenger side. So once she closed the door, there was no way for her to get out. And she turned and ran. I think he kind of like went after her. He followed her to his car or something, but she got away. And later on, she was like, "Holy shit, that was him!" Yeah, he almost got her. What the fuck was that screening? Speaking of Ted Bundy movies, there was this, I forgot which, it was last year when we had the cops. What the fuck is it? What was the name of my own project that I got a fucking bunch of movie stars in? What the fuck? What about the cops? Wiretap cigars? It's in a bunch of festivals. And we sat through this one. I don't know if folks have listened. Scott might remember. If he was he at this one? I don't know. But somebody made this short film about, like, it doesn't give you that much information. It just says, like, 1972 or something like that. Two? And there's this, like, good-looking kind of dude in a... He's in a dark office at night. It's raining out. And you can see, like, the water effect coming through the windows. Like, every fucking cheesy, hacky, low-budget filmmaker trick to try to make some kind of ambiance or maison-son. And he's like, hello. It's a guy... He's in a call center. It's like a battered woman's call center thing or whatever, where people call for, emotional support, like a hotline kind of thing. Like, I was raped, this kind of thing. And this kid's like 20 years old, good-looking kid. He's sitting... It's supposed to be boys from 70. There was like... I mean, I understand it's a low-budget thing. There was zero production design almost to alert you that it was in the 70s whatsoever. And the guy... And so this girl calls in. She's like, you know, I think my boyfriend just raped me, and I just don't know who to talk to. And the guy's like, well, I'm sorry to hear that. He's like, these things happen. And this goes on and on and on and on. It was probably 6 minutes long of, like, a literal conversation of any, like, rape crisis services hotline you would hear anywhere. It just goes on. And we're like, what the fuck? Dude, it was, like, ridiculous. We're like, oh, my God, where is this going? So finally, at the end, she's like, you've been so sweet. I feel so much better. Can you tell me what your name is? He's like, my name's Ted. And he kind of, like, stares into the camera. She's like, what's your last name, Ted? I just got to know. And he's like, well, we're not really supposed to tell anybody, but I guess this one time I can do it. Ted Bundy. And then this little fucking, like, I don't know if it freeze frames on him, like the ending of Chips, but a little fucking prologue text comes out and says, Ted Bundy actually worked at a women's fucking rape crisis hotline center from 1972 to 1977. It was just like dramatic music. We're like, wow, holy shit, I can't believe it was Ted Bundy that whole time. If it was three fucking pages, it would have been like, well, oh, wow, that's an interesting little factoid. Dude, it just fucking went on and fucking on. Those film festivals suck. They're so fucking... I've complained about them a million times in here, so I don't mean to go in circles, but they're just so fucking pompous and self-aggrandizing, and they're just so self-indulgent. This stuff that just drags on for like 7 fucking minutes of just like just wallowing in art and just abject artsiness for its own sake. You're like, oh my God, what is going on besides a visual jerk-off for you, the director, that we all have to fucking sit through? I can't fucking stand it. As much as I'd like to, I need to put together, I got to start working on Wiretap 2. I got to make that this year. I need money. I want to pay Mike Starr I want to give him $1,000. I don't think he would do it for, at least without some money. And I need a permit. We got to shoot in a park, and there's going to be props and wardrobes and whatever the fuck. The props and the wardrobes and whatever the fuck. I need a fucking line producer. So I don't know. I'm trying to fucking make that happen. I got to get that, that's on the old, short list of things I got to get crack-a-lacking on, but. Yes. So, yeah, fuck that movie. And, sort of fuck Zac Efron for taking it. I'm kind of, I don't know, I don't really have an opinion in one way or other, but I find it kind of reprehensible, to be quite honest. Okay, so, let me talk about some, I did a lot of stand-up. I did a lot of miking, as Mitch Verzi would call it. He makes a fucking verb out of, God, miking, I can't, it makes my fucking skin crawl when he texts me, are you miking tonight? Yeah, I'm going to fucking mic you when I fucking strangle you with the goddamn cord. Fucking little wop. Sorry. I love him. Okay, so first one, I start Friday night. I go to Fanatic Salon. I really like this fucking place. It's over by... Now, this is the weird thing. It's hard to say this and to say, wow, really, Luke? Gee, you don't say that. It's a very kind of dead, weird room. A lot of these mics are. It's just other comics. Wait, no one wants to be there. Everyone wants to just get up and practice their jokes and see if anything works. There's no real audience members at these open mics. It's just other comics. And they're usually late at night. And a lot of times it's either you work the whole day at work already and now you're here and you don't want to be, or this is your third mic. You started miking at 6 o'clock and this is your third one and you're just so ready to be done with this shit. So, like, no one's really in a fucking mood to, you know, to laugh. But I really like the space. I like the fucking room. It's over by Sawtelle and Venice, which is now very close to me. And it's got like a fucking... I'll tell you what, it's the most photogenic room. Besides, I think, actual West Side, that stage for some reason is pretty good too. But it's like the most photogenic room I know of. Like the way they have the colors and the fucking park hands and the lights up there and the curtains they got behind... And the whole, I don't know, it photographs very well. It's great. And it's a cool, it's like a legit space. There's actual, like, it's a little theater with seats, and there's a real stage, and it's I don't know, it's rad. I like it. And for some reason, I always have so much, because it's usually such a dead room, and there's so many, that one seems to draw. There's just certain mics that draw the better echelon of open micers. I don't know. Like that Ice House, as much as I complain about, I got to do that one next week. As much as I complain about that one. There's usually like the better guys in the scene tend to show up there, and you usually get at least a little bit better of a show. But this one is just I don't know, it draws a weird crowd, and it's usually by the time I get up it's like fucking dead. And it's one of those rooms that gives me a fucking supercharge, because I'm just like, all right, I'm gonna tear this, or at least I'm gonna give them all I got. I'm not gonna go up there and just be like, what's up guys, it's Mike. So I'll just go up there and be like, hey motherfuckers, I'll be like extra fucking energy and shit. It usually works. But for some reason, that room brings it out of me. I like that. Anyways, this one, it was me and Scott Schnurr were sitting next to each other, because he goes there. He lives on the West Side. And, dude, it was brutal. I mean, these fucking comics were so... There was this weird... Even the guy that opened, they gave him, like, this dude, like, I think they're 5-minute sets, and they gave this guy, like, 7, because he's like, well, this guy's got a show here this Sunday, so we're going to give him just a couple extra minutes so he can go through his set. And the guy was, like, 50, maybe. And he just had the fucking, you know, like the suit jacket with the t-shirt and then the pants and then like dress shoe slash boot, like the classic, like, I'm an entertainer fucking douche outfit, you know, like every record company A&R guy fucking wears trying to be hip. Like a The Who shirt or something. Like, wow, that's fucking original, dude. Wow, you're really going on a fucking ledge there. You like The Who, huh? Watch out for this fella. And he was just like, it was a night of people trying to sound like comics. Like, not doing real stuff or nothing, like, honest or from the heart. It was all what they thought you wanted to hear and how they thought you wanted it delivered. You know what I mean? It sounded like every, like, so, guys, I'm driving down the street, right? And this guy pulls up next to me and he's like, hey, buddy, your back license plate's hanging off. And I'm like, what the hell is this guy talking about? You know, it's what do you mean my license plate? I just fastened the doggone. It was just like, oh God, it was horrible. This guy that opened this thing, I can't believe. I mean, I think I thought they said he was like a professional. Yeah, because like twice he's like, well, you know, I do mics in Chicago and Indianapolis and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, I'll tell you, this room, you guys are really just lighting the place up, huh? And I'm just like, you're a professional touring comic with this fucking ass. Dude, it was so bad. It was so like, They weren't even like jokes. I don't even know what he was trying. It was all just like, it was kind of setups that just never went anywhere. We're like, what is this guy trying to do? Like, people pay to hear this motherfucker? He was like a substitute teacher. And the whole night, it just felt like, I think one person even said that they were, but it just felt like actors turn comics, or actors trying to round out their resume and do comedy too, so that it was a little bit more varied, or they literally were like going to play a comedian in something, and they were going out to hit some mics to try to get some kind of fucking experience doing it. And it was fucking, it was just ghastly. So these people would go into stuff, and like, I don't know, Scott's kind of a quiet, Schnurr's kind of a quiet dude anyways, but like we would just me and him would just lock eyes, and it was like we were two prisoners in a POW camp where like you weren't allowed to make a sound. They're like, come out, and they would just slap you in the face if you talked. But we could see each other across like through our jail bars, and as like one of our like fellow POWs was getting tortured, and we had to just stare at each other like, oh, these are the most dire circumstances a human being could find themselves in. And we're just like save us. We are so fun. I was so tired. We were fucking miserable. Me and him. It was fucking great. It was like we were at war together. And to make it worse, I had just worked out, and I had I went. What's the street? There's a Carl's Jr. right there. Luke, I thought you were trying to cut back on the junk food. Well, Carl's Jr. you can get, and it's a good post. It's a good pre or post workout meal. Usually, that you can get a barbecue chicken sandwich. It's only like 450 cals. You know, I throw away half the bread. I eat just the, and they actually cook it like it's not deep fried or anything. It's like oven. It's got the grill marks and everything in it and shit.
Well, look, they probably paint the fucking things on there.
I, what do you want from me? I'm trying to eat that the healthiest thing I can. It's not that, allegedly, it's not that bad for you. It goes down easy. It's full of protein. It's a good, like I said, pre or post workout item. And I got it. And I tell you what, this is the second time in a row where I feel like they weren't, there was lukewarm spots in the meat where I didn't feel like they quite, something didn't seem quite right. But I was in a fucking hurry and I was starving. And I need, and it's usually just the perfect amount. One of those chicken sandwiches, like the perfect amount. I scrape most of the barbecue sauce off, and it's like just the right amount of fucking food. It's like a good kind of power snack thing. And as soon as I was done, it was just sitting sideways. I'm like, oh god, something's. I don't think that thing was. I felt like shit after I ate it. And I'm sitting there, and dude, it. I'm sorry, this is disgusting. It hit me like a wave, but I was like, oh my god, I have to shit. Like I'm gonna have like fucking like diarrhea. Like I was a fucking, my stomach was like, it was a mess. It was like one of the fucking, one of the ships in a fucking Deadliest Catch on the goddamn mighty fucking whatever that ocean, the Bering Strait down there. I was like, oh shit. I'm like sweating. I'm rocking into my seat. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta get up so I can take a shit. I'm thinking like how long it would take me to get home from the mic there, because I don't live that far away. I'm like plotting out my fucking. It was bad. I was in bad shape. So I just wanted to get up. So that made it even worse. I'm just like, get me the fuck up there so I can leave and go take a shit. But, yeah, dude, it was abysmal. Oh, boy, was it bad. Oh, and this girl went up. Oh, my God. I'm going to try not to complain about other open micers too much, because you're just going to hear, you'll hear 40 minutes of it, because it's just going to be so cathartic to get it all out, because I have no one else to complain to about it, because almost all these mics I went to by myself. And this girl got up and she was just like the cutest little thing ever. And a whole bunch of her friends came with her to come see her. And she had a great smile. And she had a cutesy little hair with her hair up and little pigtails. And she thought, this chick thought she was so fucking funny. You know, these people just get up and they are so pleased with themselves. They think they're killing and shit. And they usually their friends. So like their friends will laugh either. I don't know. Maybe they think they're funny because they're fucking retarded like their friend is. Or they're just giving like sympathy laughter. But, like, her friends were there, and it was just, oh, my God, she was so fucking bad. It was just like, oh. And then she'd be like, okay, guys, didn't like that one. All right, well, just keep moving on. She was so chipper. She was pretty cute, but it was just fucking, oh, my God. She was just so, I don't know how long she'd been doing stand-up, but she had no stage fright, and she just, and this is another recurring thing. People whose confidence level far outweighed their ability or their talent, and they were just so obnoxious. And at least this chick wasn't like, she was just doing her thing. But the people that got up, of which there were many, were like, guys didn't like that one. All right, well, fucking whatever. Sorry, this fucking crowd sucks. Oh boy, did I get a couple earfuls of that all weekend from Mr. Positive, Mr. and Mrs.'s, well, mostly guys, positive attitudes. Like, fuck you with your fucking shitty joke. Like, really? Anyways. So I actually got up and, like I said, it lit a fucking fire under me, and I was crazy. I don't know. I had fun. I did okay. I had maybe like 15 people in there. I got a good fucking handful of laughs, but I had fun and I felt good. So that was worth it. That kicked off the weekend of doing stand-up. So I get up Saturday. I don't know what got into me, fam, this weekend, but I was on a fucking mission from the minute I got up. I ain't missing you at all. Missing you. Remember that song? No matter what my friends say. What was that? Who sang that? Was that White Snake? No, it wasn't White Snake. Was that One Hit Wonder Band? I can't remember. That song reminds me of just being in my parents' car and that just driving around listening to adult contemporary music and just not wanting. I hated music. I fucking. There was like three. I know. Is that shocking? There was three songs on the radio that I liked like my entire fucking life up until I was in like sixth or seventh grade when I discovered like AC/DC and then Metallica, and it like saved my life. But I was just fucking, I tell you, for all those years I had, these are the cassettes that I owned. I had the Ghostbusters 2 soundtrack, which I knew by fucking heart. I knew every song. I had Weird Al Fat, the Fat album. I had Beastie Boys, was it License to Ill? I think, yes. I had Van Halen for Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. I still remember getting that for Christmas. That's an underrated fucking album. And Pound Cake. And, what's the other hit they had on there? I don't know. I love Sammy Hagar, Van Halen. I like David Lee Roth, but I loved, Sammy was my era. That's when I was, like, conscious of, you know, I was a fucking little kid. David Lee Roth, that was a little kid. I was like 5, 6, 7 years old. And then Sam Hagar got it around my more adolescent years. So he was more my guy. But I don't know. I thought they were both good. I love fucking, I hate people like, oh, Sammy Hagar, he sucks. No, he was good, you know. What else? It was Pound Cake and, oh, goddamn, they had another tune on there. I had that, and I still remember what my nightstand drawer looked like, because I had a woman's nightstand. My mom gave me hers when she got a new bedroom set, even though hers was pretty new. And for some reason, she got another new fucking, I don't know, maybe she caught my fucking dad writing a love letter to some fucking fat chick, and he was like, all right, I'll buy you a new bedroom set. And I got her older, which were still in newish condition, nightstands that had these gold trim. Everyone I would come to my room, like, isn't this a woman's dress? I'm like, shut the fuck up. And stay out of my laser tag garbage can, because there's about fucking 3.5 gallons of fucking jizz in there. Yeah, I still remember the cassettes I would have in that fucking drawer. I'd open that drawer on the side of my fucking nightstand there, and it was, what else did I have? But yeah, I think Back in Black, Dave Schaff got me into AC/DC down the street. Because I was teetering on the brink. I felt like I was teetering on the brink of becoming a wigger back then. And that's when rap was really, like late 80s, early 90s, when rap was really came into the fucking cultural consciousness and was mainstream now, and everyone was into it. And you were cool if you liked rap. All the cool kids like rap, and the fucking hot chicks like rap. The hot chicks fucked the cool kids while they played rap. But the Loopster wasn't down. Yeah, AC/DC. How did I go down that road? What the fuck was I talking about? I don't know. Somehow that translated from open mics. Anyways, I woke up and I went right to fucking, I was at Starbucks, 9 a.m., wrote for a good 2.5 hours at stupid Terminator fucking screenplay, right? That I almost hate telling people about. But I was writing, and I was like, I'm going to fucking eat, and I am just going to fucking, 5 o'clock on, I'm just going to do all fucking open mics. And it was a nice weekend of just, I'd plot them all. I'd run over to fucking Valley, because that's where most of them are on the weekend. And I'd have an hour. I'd go to a bar. I'd get one drink for an hour, and I'd go to the next mic. It was fucking, dude, it was such a, like, It seriously almost worried me, because it was a confluence of shit. Because on one hand, I'm like, I'm like so into this now. This is fucking awesome that I don't have to worry about, like, fuck women, fuck everything else. Like, just, I can just dial in and just do mics all weekend. Like, this is so fun. Like, I can just bounce around, and I can do a little shit in between and go eat and stuff. And it's just fucking, like, gives me stuff to do from, like, morning till fucking, like, my whole day. I swear, this weekend felt like 3 fucking days. I swear, by Sunday night, I'm like, this felt like 3 days this weekend. I did so much stuff. I just went non-fucking stop from the minute I woke up till the end of the night. I just did mics and wrote and just did, like, I was fucking great. It was very, and then on the other hand, I'm thinking, like, oh my God, like, I'm gonna turn into, like a Dave Attell weirdo like this. Like, this is all I'm gonna do. Like, I'm gonna completely, forget about, like, social relationships and fucking girlfriend. Like, who needs a fucking girlfriend? I enjoyed my time with myself so much, and it was almost scary. I'm like, I could just be single forever. I don't care. You know, like, I have so much more important stuff to do than just try go out and spend $100 and try to maybe get laid or something. I don't know. It's just weird. It was a whole bunch of shit. But I don't know. I don't. What do you want from me? I'm trying to figure things out. But I had a good time, and I was happy. Saturday night, I went to, I haven't done this one in a long time. I'm going to try and segue as much as possible, so I'm not just, I didn't have a ton go on. I've just been doing stand-up so much that I haven't had much else go on. So I'm going to try and segue or talk about anything else in between, so I'm just not a show about the open mics that I did, because I don't, who wants to hear that much. But until I find those little side avenues, I'm just going to plow ahead here. I get to the Flappers over there in Burbank, which I normally like that place. They have I like the bar show in the front, is cool, but on Friday and Saturday night, they have a late night mic that starts at 11:30, and it's in that back Yoo-Hoo room. I talked about it last time. I don't like that room, and it brings one of the worst crowds of the open micers of any other fucking mic that I know, of just the most obnoxious, the most entitled, the most guys. It brings the most of anyone else I know. The crowd that spends their every waking moment hanging out at the Comedy Store, trying to rub elbows with everybody, just trying to be seen, that live up in that fucking belly room and just, you know, are dying to be in the background of a Troy Conrad picture that shows the fucking wave or something. Like, there I am, I'm friendly. It's all those fucking guys. And of those guys, I will say, in my experience, the majority of them are not funny. They become friends with the right people and they have the connections, but they don't have the fucking talent. They're not funny. And they think that just by hanging out at the Comedy Store all the time and getting up as much as possible, that somehow, through just sheer osmosis of being in the building, that they're going to somehow become really funny. And they just don't, and they won't, and they're all, and they're most of them are I'm not gonna mention who the fuck they are, but most of them are douchebags anyways. You know, they're just fucking assholes and just think they're hot shit. And there's a lot of that. So I just because of the fact that it's so goddamn late, I haven't done that one in fucking probably a year. I couldn't even tell you the last time I did that fucking room, but I used to do it all the time because it was the last late night one, and it's just. I don't know what it is. It's probably because it's late on the weekend and everyone else would rather be doing something else. But out of sheer sense of fucking purpose and duty, they've come to this fucking wretched midnight mic again. And no one wants to fucking... It's just generally miserable. And the people it brings in are just... And just like I said, just like... Yeah, well, this room sucks. Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. You've sucked. My name is Terry. And then everyone clapped. I'm like, why would you clap for that? He just insulted all of us. They're mediocre. Oh, mediocre jokes would still get laughs or support, or like it's and shit. But what do you want from us, guy? I mean, if you were hilarious and if you were funny, there would have been laughs. You know what I mean? If you were legitimately fucking hilarious, you would have got something. And that set sucked, and your jokes were half cooked ideas that didn't go anywhere. What do you want? What do you want us to do? Throw fucking confetti in the air for you? I don't know. I'm telling you, I got so. I think I was even getting on Roach's nerves because I was complaining about so many fucking people because I just wanted someone to vent to. And by Sunday night, he's just like, fucking leave me alone. Stop slagging everybody. He's fucking at it with my grouchy ass. I'm like, fuck Jim. Jim fucking Stevens. He stinks. Just like he opened a fucking containment unit from Ghostbusters. Of just like the roof of my car blew open and just evil spirits came pouring out and flying through the city, terrifying people and shit. It was awful. Oh my god, I got into this weird I don't know if I'd ever quite felt like this before, because there was weeks where I'd go at it real hard and I'd do like at least a mic a night, and lately I've been doing two and trying to. I've almost done three three times in like 9 fucking days. If I would have got up at all, I went to 3 and I just didn't get up at all 3. But you start to get in this weird, almost numb zone. Because I used to do it a lot, and I would get so tired of it, of just having to sit through all the bullshit just to get up and do 3 minutes or whatever. And after a couple days, I also in the summer, I have a harder time in the summertime just sitting in dark when it's nice out, and you're sitting in some dark fucking room listening to more fucking drumpf jokes and jerking off fucking material and everything else. Where it would just skeeve me out, because it just, I'm like, I want to be outside. Like, I want to be out doing something. Like, this almost feels like a fucking, like a corruption of nature or something to be in this fucking room right now and not out enjoying the Californianness that I fucking moved here for and fucking slave for and everything else. Probably flushing my life down the toilet for. But, I got in this weird zone where I did it so much. I was just like, yeah, this is where I belong, man. Fuck it. I'll just sit here all day. And I just got in this weird comfort zone that I never felt. I've been doing this for all intents and purposes, I've been doing it 4 years. I've really been doing it semi-seriously to serious for 3. I'll put a year of fucking around in there. But I was just like, whoa, I'm so just... It was a weird thing between burned out and so eager to get up that I was willing to put up with whatever shit just to get my fucking time. It was a new feeling. It was weird, right? I don't know. I'm really starting to get into this stuff. But this woman got up at Flappers, and she was sitting behind me the entire show. And it's so cramped in that Yoo-hoo room that the way I was sitting, the way she was kind of sitting pitched forward with like her with her elbow kind of perched out on her knee and her chin resting on her fist. You know what I mean? Like sitting crouched down with her. I'm doing it in my car, as I'm telling you. I'm making a fucking, like Bowser from Sha Na Na, that fucking pose. There's a relevant reference everyone will get. First concert I ever went to in my life, Sha Na Na, I was 4 years old. I cried, and my father probably called me a pussy. She was pretty much in my ear from the way she was sitting, just going, the whole show. She did this like, she was afraid of the silence, or she just felt like she needed to make some kind of, yeah, I laughed at that confirmation after almost anything anyone said the entire night. If it sounded like a joke, she just went, in the background. I was like, oh, who the fuck? And I kept kind of trying to turn around, because she kind of looked cute in like a Long Island trash. She looked like she was about my age, and she had her hair up, that thing like where in the middle of her hair for no reason. It was kind of like a ponytail kind of thing, you know? And she had like a, she had like leopard print kind of spandexy yoga pants. And she was a little chunky, but like in the right places kind of chunky. I don't know. She looked like she could be one of Karen's friends from fucking Goodfellas. I don't know, in the younger years. Hang on, I need a drink. So she gets up, and speaking of people that just want to, instead of, like I said, instead of being honest or just writing what they want to write, they get up and say things and they deliver them in a way that they think you would expect a comic to say it. Like, I'm a comedian, this is how I got to talk. And she got up, and I am not kidding, I have seen possibly at this point thousands, over 1,000 maybe, open mic comics and people going on stage at all these shows all over the city, all over the country. Honestly, I've been to other open mics in other states. This woman could have been one of the worst comics or person to ever stand up and be considering to do comedy I have ever seen at open mic. I mean, she was so reprehensible on every conceivable level. She was just so hateable. She was so hateable. I remember I looked around the room and everyone had this like slightly like twisted grotesque look on their face. It looked like that. Remember that part in Ferris Bueller where Ben Stein is the teacher is giving that history lesson and there's a little montage of students just staring at him with like fucking daggers coming out of their eyes, like just hating his fucking guts and hating being in this class. I looked around the room and we were like so unified in our hatred of this woman. She was so fucking hateable. It was like, dude, she did what, 3 or 4 minutes, and it felt like 45. I wanted her life to end. I just prayed for like a fucking, one of the Lico lights to come fucking loose on the ceiling and fall out of the housing and just kill her. Fucking, I hated her. I'd never seen her before. I didn't recognize her. I've never seen her around, but I pray with all my soul, what's left of it, that I never see this woman again. She was so fucking that. But I was sitting there. I'm like, this is one of the worst people I've ever seen do stand-up in my entire life. And that's like really saying something, because there's some real assholes and just like people. She just wanted attention. One of those people that just want to get up and they tell people, oh, yeah, I'm a stand-up. And they do an open mic once every 3 months maybe. And they think, oh, God, she was so bad. I sat there all motherfucking night, 1:45 a.m., and did not get my name called. I was so bummed. That would have been my third mic. And before that, I did Fourth Wall, and I did great. And I did, where else did I do that I did great? I just got a Tinder match. Congratulations, you have a new match. I was talking about to this black chick all day who was fucking hot. She looked like a whore, but she was pretty, and she was fucking sexy, and she was curvy in all the right places. And all day, and she's like, okay. I said, you want to go to Irvine with me tonight? Come on. And she was like, okay, I go. And I said, she's from Buffalo. And I was like, all right, give me your number. And it stalled there, and I have not heard from this Nubian princess. And let's see who I match with. We're going to do this live. Let's see. Misha, who's that? Let's take a look at this fucking bro. Oh, another black girl. Look at this. Oh, she's cute. You know. No kids, never been married. Where she live? 112 miles away. She lives in San Diego. Come on, Andy. She lives in San Diego. Fuck. Oh, she's a doll. Look how cute she is. Fuck. Oh, I love black women. Oh, looks like she has. Does she have big tits? Shit. Fuck. Ah, oh, what a pisser. I'll probably never see her until the motherfucking San Diego. I can't believe my boss hasn't called me because we're having a real camera crisis. Okay, get back on focus, fucker. Oh, also, I skipped over this. That Saturday, I finally, because I got everything done just in time, that Star Wars was playing right up the street. And I said, I'm going to go. You know what? I got a little time to kill. The first mic is until 5 o'clock, and it's noon now. So I'll go see Star Wars. I'll work out, and I'll go start doing my mics. And before the opening, I won't spend a lot of time, and I've already talked about Star Wars, but before the opening fucking crawl was even done, I was like, I don't want to watch this again. My brain just skipped ahead to all the lousy parts in the movie. And I tell you, the second time around on that movie sucks. Last Jedi, this whole new Star Wars is just a complete misfire. They're just, they completely missed the fucking Mark Hamill. Speaking of Mark Hamill, next time you watch Last Jedi, you know, I'm sure you noticed it the first time, but I just forgot to mention it. Maybe you did. Why is Mark Hamill so weird looking? When he's walking around in those robes, it's like he doesn't have any shoulders. He looks like a head just coming out of like a stick. Like, where's the rest of his body? Why does he look so like, it looks like his head is on the wrong body. I can't describe it. It just doesn't look, it looks like a bad drawing. He looks fucking bizarre. He looks terrible. He doesn't look formidable or foreboding or powerful at all. He looks like a fucking weirdly shaped old fuck. But, that movie is not good. It's not good. It's just, I don't know what they were thinking. And everything they did with these characters just sucks. Han was cool. At least we got to see his space piratey origins. We got one glimpse of that that was the best part. That was the saving grace of Force Awakens, was the Han Solo shit was cool. And I really like Kylo Ren, and I liked him. He gets rid of the helmet with that cool fucking, I loved his voice. And he gets rid of the helmet in the movie. I don't know, but, I also forgot, I noticed this last time, but just didn't know. We got a stalled out car. What's going on here, motherfucker? Oh, God, can do that. Fuck, there's a stalled car in my lane, and it's fucking, I can't get around this son of a bitch. This is taking fucking forever. I've gone like 5 miles in fucking 30 minutes. There is so much bad dialogue in that fucking movie. It's just horrible. Remember that scene where so the best scene in the movie, this is the weird thing, because it's mostly terrible, but there are a handful of like scenes that are so good. They're some of my favorite scenes of any Star Wars movie ever. But they're also surrounded by it's such a frustrating movie because there's so much garbage surrounding it. Like that scene where Laura Dern turns the ship and cuts through that fucking dreadnought at light speed is like one of the coolest things and most original ideas I've ever seen. Like, post the original trilogy, like that was so great. Like, what a cool idea! They cut the sound, and it was like beautiful. Like the way he shot it, it was very like cinema. It was fucking awesome, right? But that scene where all the Laura Dern's like, I'm gonna stay behind with the ship. All you guys get away on the transports and get to the base, and I'll sacrifice myself. And she's looking out the window at the ships flying away, and she goes, "Godspeed, rebels." I'm like, oh my god. It's like, what the fuck would I think? And there's a good handful of just scenes where the dialogue was so bad. It was like fucking, like a bad play. I was like, Jesus Christ. It just sucks. I don't care if I ever fucking see that movie again. It's a goddamn shame. But the final, okay, along the same lines of great, the entire final sequence when they're on that base on, what's the name of that? That fucking thing where with the red sand, like that was so cool. That was so original. That felt like old Star Wars. That whole thing where they're behind that wall, and then the Empire comes and brings like that the laser battering ram, and they're flying on those junky fucking ships, and he goes through to step on the pedal, and Poe's fucking foot goes right through the butt. That shit was great, and it was such a cool idea. Like, we'd never seen anything like that before, and it felt like the old movies, but it was still something new. The way the thing had to be down, and she's like, put the thing down so you can, memories flees all over the place, and she tells him to put the thing down, and it has to touch this fucking salt for it to go. And I was like, what a cool idea. That's so great. That was the best. That whole last sequence was probably the best part of the whole fucking movie. But I mean, the plot sucks. They gotta wait for them to run out of fuel. It's just terrible. But I tell you, that fucking scene was even worse. I knew it was coming. That Carrie Fisher scene, she says to Mark Hamill, I know I touched on this last time, she says to him, I'm just glad you were here at the end. And then she died right after that. Like, he was there, and it was like, I'm telling you, it was even more like profound this time, because I knew it was coming, but I was like, God, it's so weird that she died right after this. Like, that last scene with her is her last scene ever, and it's so fucking profound, because it sounds like she, like, they knew she was going to die, and they were giving her a send-off. She says to Mark Hamill's character, I'm just glad you were here in the end, and they hold hands, and I think he kisses her hand. And I'm like, holy shit, he was there in the beginning in 1977, and this is her last role, and their last time on screen, and then she died. It's so weird. And then he's like, well, some people will be around forever, and I think he kisses her, and that's their last interaction. It's like, God, I got fucking choked up. I'm a fucking pussy. I cry. I didn't cry, but I was like, oh, God, oh, my God. Could she die right after that for real? It was just, God, that fucking drives me crazy. But like I said, one of the weirdest, I don't know of another movie. I mean, that's like that Yul Brynner commercial where he's like, by the time you see this, I'll be dead. Remember in the 70s, that famous lung cancer commercial he did? Another timely reference. All the 20-year-olds are just fucking loving this show. Yeah, there's nothing original. Snoke is a boring rehash of the Emperor. It's like, where did this guy come from? Who the fuck is he? There's no backstory. Whatever. Oh, I complained about Star Wars. What am I at here? Damn, I'm at almost an hour already. Jesus. Okay. Okay. What? You know, I'm trying to throw another shit instead of just talking about stand up. Like I said, I'm trying. I got more. So Sunday, I guess it was Saturday night. I didn't get up. I went to bed. Sunday, I go to the Ha Ha Cafe at 5 o'clock. It's the first. Oh no, there's one at 3 o'clock at the Lyric, but I skipped that one. More on that later. 5 o'clock, the Ha Ha over there in North Hollywood. I don't know if I think I've talked about the place before, but if you look at the club, it looks like it's a comedy club, but it's so garish and over the top. It looks like either a fun house or that whorehouse that they built Beetlejuice and the model train set in Beetlejuice. That it's so crazy looking. It looks like it would be the Joker's hideout in the 1960s Batman cartoon. It's so ridiculous. But there's a. I need another drink. Hang on a second. I hate listening. If I listen back and I just smack my lips the whole episode. That new thought starter thing where I click my teeth. It drives me. Does it drive you nuts? If it does, I apologize. That's a habit I'm gonna try to break. Like it's like the crossing my arms of the podcast. Oh yeah, listen to that fucking water. Oh. It's so refreshing. It's like angel's breast milk. The Ha Ha has always, like I said, I have a, if it came to pass that place turned out to be a mafia front for something else and wasn't an actual comedy club, I would not be surprised, because it doesn't feel like, there's always like weird people coming in and out that walk in and go right into some kind of back room. I'm telling you, there's a weird vibe. It doesn't feel like an actual comedy club, even though that's its sole purpose. It's not a bar that has a mic. It's a legit comedy club. I've put pictures up before. I'll put a picture on my Flickr there, FLICKR, Live from the 405 Podcast on Flickr. I'll put a picture of the Ha Ha Cafe. See what I'm talking about. You're like, this is a real place? Like, yes, it is. And there's just a weird vibe. It's a weird energy. It's very antagonistic in there. And it's very, it's just unsettling. And there's always guys going after each other. And comics, comics that don't know each other, like fucking with each other and making fun of other guys' sets. And there's always like there's going to be a fight in there. It's like the Foxfire Bar in North Hollywood. It's like the comedy club version of that place. I always just feel like a fight's going to break out. It's just tense and like, I don't know what it is. Now, I've always done okay, and I liked that stage, and I liked that actual room, even though they shine that fucking light. The first time I ever did it, I was like, Jesus Christ, because the spotlight is right in your fucking eyes. You cannot see a thing. It's like fucking Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies when they're interrogating her. Calm down. Calm down, please. When she starts smashing the window with the fucking stool. Calm down, Mrs. Tusker. But I got used to that, so I don't know. I always felt loosey-goosey and fine in there, but there's just a weird energy, and there's always, it just seems to attract a just pissed-off people, like really angry comics, very bitter, even more so than normal. I don't know what it is, but I'm waiting. Now, I forgot to tell you this part. I got about a 5 minutes together that has been doing very well. It's one of the best 5 minutes I've ever had together. It's the best one I got together since I had that whole Tom Hanks had a terrible year at the movies bit that did pretty fucking good last year. That got me a couple shows at Flappers because I did it at that audition or whatever. But this one I got together now is doing pretty good. It's one of the best things I've ever written. It's one of the best bunch of bits I ever put together at once. That just, I got really lucky, I guess, and it just all coalesced and converged. But every fucking guy that went up in there was like the whole crowd. There was like maybe 15 people in there. That's another thing. It's usually evenly split by race, women and guys. It'll be girls to guys. It'll be, if there's 16 people, there'll be like 6 or 7 women and the rest guys. And of the guys, it'll be like 4 white guys and 3 black guys. It's always like just perfectly like demoed in there. It's weird. But all 3 of the 4 women that were in there waiting to go up at this is open mic, were lesbians. 3 of them were lesbians. Okay, so you can imagine what their material, it was just to say, so guys, I'm a lesbian, and their entire set is about how they're a lesbian and everything else. But every guy that went up was just, they were just so extra vile. Like, every fucking guy set was like, so I was fucking my girlfriend in the ass. the other day, and she farted on my balls, and then I had shit flakes on my fucking scrotum when I went to take a shot. It was just, like, disgusting. Like, every fucking one guy. I know I'm not Mr. Clean or anything, but, like, I was like, oh, my God. After, like, the third or fourth one of these, just it was either just really pissed off. It was just, like, the worst of the worst of just, like, white open mic just guys. It was just everything was just jerking off and shitting and fucking a girl on her period and just. And the set I got now is, like, pretty, it's pretty middle-of-the-road stuff. None of it's particularly offensive. One I dare would even say is PG-13 and fun for the whole family. It's like a Brian Regan bit, honestly. But it's working really fucking well. And I was just like, well, I was, it was awful to have to sit through these dudes' shit, fucking, sets of just awful, you know, just the most disgusting fucking vile material you could think of. And then go, oh, man, my shit is nothing like this. I can't fucking wait. And there was a dead energy in there, too, because it's just sad. I don't know. No one wants to. Everyone's just like, just sitting there all slumped over. But I'll tell you what, the fucking kid got up there and lit that motherfucker up. It was great. I felt great. I had good energy. I didn't crush, but I did pretty fucking good. I had the entire room laugh good 3 or 4 times. I made the host laugh. I was like, shit, this is going pretty good. So, did pretty good in there, and I had fun doing it. That's becoming more and more, I mean, I don't know, at this phase in my, I don't even want to say career, but, like, if I had fun doing it, I don't care how it went. Like, if I had a good time up there myself and was, like, just confident and just was like, well, this is my, I'm giving you everything I got. If you don't laugh at it, then that's in God's hands. But at least I didn't walk away nervous and shit, you know? I did it to the best of my ability, and that's like, all I could do. And that's a fucking win for me, as gay as it fucking sounds. So I was like, fuck yeah, I felt good. So then I went over to goddamn Fourth Wall again, second day in a row. And I fucking, man, I did really good there. I couldn't fucking believe. I'll tell you what, I complained a little bit last episode about the way old Mad Dog Manente has made the place a little bit more regimented as far as the way he breaks down the times now. It's a little less of a hang and more of a focused, serious, let's do some fucking stand-up here kind of thing. But it was actually kind of nice because everyone is in the room and everyone is dialed in and you're getting a legit crowd, even in those other over. It's a supportive room. It really is one of the best fucking mics around, honestly, that Fourth Wall is. It's no frills and shit. You know, it's pretty fucking, like, you know, like you heard Mr. Joey Diaz say a couple episodes ago, but it's a fucking great room. It's just a good room to get a good reception. And I don't know. I did really good. It was great. That was a good, I think both my Saturday and Sunday, there was a good, there's always the shitty, like, you know, whatever. I'm not fucking Robin Williams myself, but there's people I just don't know. They're just awful and like, not, or they're just brand new and they don't know how to fucking, you know, do jokes and shit. But there's a good handful of really funny fucking sets and shit. Like, who's that dude, Travis, that moved me? That big Travis guy with the fucking Popeye arms? His arms are so big that Joe can hang off Travis. He did it. Joe Mad Dog Manente hangs on Travis's arms. He hangs on Travis's arms and brings his feet up off the floor, and Joe does pull-ups on Travis's arm. I'm not kidding. He holds his arm out, and Joe does a fucking pull-up on the guy's arm, like 3 or 4. I was like, Jesus Christ. That dude has the craziest body. Like, he could rip you in half. He can rip your head off, that guy. He's a monster, but man, that dude got really funny. He's fucking hilarious. Joe's always funny. Joe's a fucking riot. I love that guy. He's one of my favorite. I don't even want to say open mic. He's just like one of my favorite people to watch. I don't know how Joe Mad Dog Manente, owner of the Fourth Wall, I don't know how he's not like, not famous, but he should be fucking Friday night at the store, man. He's an entertaining guy, and he's legit funny. I don't know what the fuck, LA, what are you waiting for? Get fucking Joe Manente. Get that motherfucker a shot. Not of booze, he doesn't drink. I'm just saying, shut up. God damn, I'm blowing my voice out. Hang on a second. I'm drinking. So, I did those couple mics. I went and ate for the second night in a row. I went to Mexicali over there in Studio City, and I sat with old Quinn. And I had just done a mic, and I went there in between. I had like an hour and a half to kill. Just went in there, got a nice Caesar salad, and sat at the bar and just shot the shit with him. It was fucking great, dude. We just like talked nonsense. We had like all kinds of artsy shit to catch. I don't know. It was a good time. And I don't think he listens, but thanks for Quinn knocked a couple bucks off my bill there. And that was great. I didn't care. I didn't even know if he was going to be there. I wanted a chicken Caesar salad, and I fucking love Mexicali's chicken Caesar salad. It's good. And I love there. I wanted a margarita so bad, but I knew it would get me really buzzed. And I didn't want to drink and get up because I didn't want to fuck my shit up. But it was tough to resist. I got a Diet Coke. So, let me see. Where am I at? Okay. Reading and driving. I don't recommend it. Not good. So that was Sunday night, and I said, I'm going to try and make mic number 3 again tonight. I'm going to go back to the Comedy Store. Scene of the crime from last episode, 124, where I did not do well and didn't enjoy myself, and it's a tough room, and I'm not quite at that level, but I'm going to try anyways, and it'll toughen me up and make me a more well-rounded feller. So I said, I'm going back, motherfucker. I'll go back. I'll take my punches. I will take whatever's coming, but I'm not going to back down from that room. I gotta unscare myself. So I get there, and I get to the front door, Sunday night, Comedy Store, Sunset Boulevard. And he's like, what show are you here for? I said, I'm here for the belly room mic. And he goes, oh, we don't have... So I found out they didn't have the mic that week. That is a pop-up mic on Sundays. It is most Sundays, but it's not guaranteed every Sunday. I didn't know. I found this out the hard way. I'm like, fuck! I was so ready. I mean, I had done 2 fucking mics that day, and I did good at both of them. And I was fucking confident in my set. And I was like, this is it. This is the one already. 2018 goal is to do fucking hell. At least have one good set in that fucking belly room. Where I legit walk out of there and was like, fuck, I did good. You know what I mean? That's one of my big... I really want to have that happen. And now it's not fucking there. I was like, I was so in the zone, motherfucker. I was so ready. I was so ready to go. I left my jokes in my car. I didn't even realize. I walked into the fucking club and didn't even have my jokes with me. And I was like, you know what? I don't fucking need them. It was like... In Spaceballs, the ring was Bupkis. I found it in the Cracker Jack box. Remember the Schwartz or whatever? The Schwartz is in you. I'm like, son of a fuck. All right, well, I got it. Now it's like 11 o'clock on a fucking Sunday. I've been, you know, I'm fucking exhausted. I'm like, all right, can I use a bathroom? Actually, I was weird because there's so many shitty door people at the store, but there seems to be a new crop of way nicer people there now. All of a sudden, I don't know, not so douchey. But I go in the back there to take a piss in that back hallway where everybody hangs out. And it's the hallway is behind, like, you walk in the hallway behind the original room while there's always shows going on and you can take a piss. And I walk through that back hallway and I literally am in the fucking earshot of the stage for 5 seconds. And I hear the funniest joke I had heard of dozens of comics in hours of material. One joke made me... It was the funniest fucking thing. I walk by the stage and all I hear is... I hear someone on stage and just go... And I couldn't even see them. I'm just walking, looking straight ahead because I'm headed to the bathroom. I just hear... I saw the most disgraceful thing I've seen in years. You guys, I saw a Japanese homeless guy. What the fuck? You know, he goes, I saw an Asian homeless guy. What the fuck? Oh, and everyone was like fucking laughing. It was just the way he... I just butchered the delivery, but... It was so perfect. That was all I heard. By the time I heard that perfectly, and then I was out of earshot in the bathroom, and I'm like laughing as I'm taking a piss because the guy sounds so legitimately disappointed. That's not the most disgusting thing I've seen in years. I see an Asian homeless guy. Oh, what the fuck! And I walked back, and I was like, that was probably. And I look, it was Bobby Lee, but it was just so perfect. I'm like 5 seconds in this building, and I heard the funniest thing I have heard in hours and days. And dozens of fucking people. This is so great. That fucking guy. Oh my god, he's fucking funny, man. He doesn't change his set for years at a time. I don't know. I don't think I remember him telling that joke, but that dude is fucking funny. Son of a bitch. It was fucking great. But so that was that. I went home empty-handed. Now, goddamn, it's just stand-up. It's all I'm talking about. Oh, this is so boring. Fuck. I'm sorry, everybody. I need to get out in the world more, huh? I'm trying. It's a weird kind of 50-50 there. I have to have a real life to bring more stuff to the show. But at the same time, I've just been in a fucking nose at a grindstone doing stand-up kind of shit. So I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can. Monday night. Now, I'm getting pretty burned out. I think I'm on 4 or 5 days fucking straight here. Most of the nights, more than one mic even a night. You know, just spending fucking 70% of my fucking... It's like having a second full-time job doing this shit at the moment. And it's fucking busy at work. God damn it. And I'm debating. I'm getting burned out. And I'm like, God, I should go do that Schoonerville mic out there in Canoga Park, which is a 20 fucking mile drive. Kind of a nice drive. You take the PCH down there along the ocean. And then I take Topanga Canyon over, which is the canyon, mountain. And I don't know. At least it's just not sitting in straight ahead highway traffic. But, And I usually do good there. And either way, it's a fun hang because Rocha and Verzies and Chris Dunham and who else? Just a handful of people. It's fun. It feels more like a hang. Like we're just hanging out. You know, I mean, you do your stuff, but it's fun. All my guys are there. And, like, it's like, I think I took a nap. Who needs all this filler? Why am I droning on and on? I barely made it to them. I almost didn't go. Yeah, I guess it does figure into the story. Okay. I almost didn't go. And I'm like, fuck it, I'll go. God damn it. I want to do it. So I went, and I tell you, it was, I've been doing that mic for maybe 2 months now. And it's an easier room. There's like always a good handful of real people in there too, of actual audience members. It's just a kind of a dive bar in Canoga Park, but it's a sports bar with tons of screens and shit like that. So a lot of people come to watch the games, and then at like 9 o'clock they turn the games off, which I'm sure everyone's delighted about, and then have a comedy. And they got a real stage and an actual stage and stuff, and it's a decent little space there for being in a fucking Valley strip mall. But I don't know, there is a magic in that fucking room. I don't know if it's because we're all friends and we're more comfortable around each other. I don't know, but it just, it was the best. I don't, what have I done? Maybe 8 or 10 Monday nights in that place, and we like destroyed that place. It was fucking amazing. Like, everyone did great. The Verzies did great. Chris did great. Eric fucking Rocha, my man, he, it was the best set I have ever seen that guy do. Dude, he fucking destroyed that place. It was unbelievable. It was like a fucking comedy special. He's getting applause breaks. Fucking, dude, he did so good that when he got off the stage, people were still laughing and clapping, and way off in the back corner of the bar, I heard a black guy go, "That's a funny motherfucker right there." When you hear random black dude say that, you fucking did good. That's just like, you know what I mean? He didn't even mean for anybody to say that. That was coming from the goodness of his goddamn heart. And goddamn, he was so funny. I never heard him do any of his jokes. He just fucking, he fucking destroyed that place. And then I got up and did maybe the best I've ever done in there. I had a really good set, and I got, goddamn it, my first applause break of my career. I got a fucking, where I had to, everyone went, woo, and clapped for like 10 seconds, and I had to wait for it to die down. And it was fucking awesome. Dude, we walked out of there just like hot. Like, I drove him, Rocha, home, and we're just like, what the fuck, dude? We're like fucking real comics. It's like a fucking, I don't know. It was like a fucking, what's that fucking Clint Eastwood movie with the... It was like we were taking one of those fucking hills in Japan, and like the worst battles of World War II, and we finally got to the top of the hill, and it was like finally quiet. We put up our first American flag, like, holy shit, we just beat back the Japs there. Fucking holy shit, we can take a breather. I don't know, this is weird, like, I don't know, we were thrilled. It went so good. I was like so glad I went. I was like, god damn, if I would have stayed home, I would have missed, like, I was fucking high. I was like, Jesus, that was amazing, right? Best feeling. And the fucking crowd in there, there's like, I think they were there last week, but it seemed like there's like one or two more every week. There's like 10 or 12, like, just locals that, like, of just like sports fans and shit. They're all like maybe like in their 20s. It's always like guys and guys with their girlfriends kind of thing, mostly like Mexicans. But they just laugh at everything. They're fucking, they're like the best audience members. They're so goddamn receptive. And even comics that were less good than us. Still were getting like a lot more. It even felt like more laughs than they deserved. I'm sorry. But I don't know. It was fucking awesome, right? So I want you to hold what I just said. I got an applause break, and just kind of slowly zoom in and fade out on me, standing on the stage, smiling, waiting for the applause to break. And you hear all the laughter just kind of echo off, and we're going to fade out. And then you hear some real kind of dramatic fucking, like that, what do they call it? The shepherd's bow from Dunkirk. When it's like, when they just drag the violin thing across the chords, and it just holds that note, and it's super tense. So cue that coming in. So now it's Tuesday night. And I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do the same old. I'm going to try and do a different mic that I always have had a tough time in and have not done in a long time. And I'll take a crack at it tonight because I seem to be doing good, and I got some fucking swagger in my step, and I got some fucking good stage balls going. I'm going to go back to Lyric Hyperion because I haven't been there in a long time. I haven't been there since the summer. In fact, last time I was in that room, it was like 105 outside. It was so hot. Lyric Hyperion is out there in, what is it, Silver Lake? It is a coffee shop with a fucking actual, again, kind of like that Fanatic Salon I was telling you about. It's like a legit performing arts space in there. It's a stage. There's no actual stage platform. It's just the ground. But there's like theater, there's like bleacher seats. It's almost theater in the round. It's like if the seats are, it's like four rows high of actual bleachers. and it goes in a U shape, and you stand in the middle of a U, and it's dark, and like they have legit plays and stuff in there, right? And it's a very oddly intimidating room. I don't know what, maybe not for anyone else, but for me and for other people I know, it's just a weird, tough, tense room. And in my experience across years, I get nothing in that room. I think if I've done that room 10 times, I think once or twice ever I had a good set and got laughs. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the crowd. I don't know if it's me. I don't know, but it's a terrible room. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this best fucking five that I've had in a while, and I'm going to trot my shit out there, and these motherfuckers are going to love me, right? Night before I got an applause break, this is going to, at least, if I get a snicker in the Lyric Hyperion, I've done good, you know what I'm saying? So I worked out last night. This is last night this happened. And I wasn't in a good headspace. I was just woozy. I almost felt like maybe I was getting a cold. I just felt run down and shitty. And I think I had too much coffee and not enough fucking food. And I was dragging myself. I really didn't want to go. I'm like, I don't feel like doing this tonight, but I'm on such a good run. And I think I'm on almost a week straight of not missing one fucking night. So I want to keep going. So I went anyways, but I just wasn't feeling it. You know, I was just nervous and not, I don't know, just wasn't in the fucking mood to do it. And this is one of those nights where it's just like, I needed some help. Like I said, there's a lot of times where I like dead rooms where it's just one, just a fucking sausage grinder where it's one shitty, just a whole set of bad Donald Trump jokes or something after another, and it's just boring and annoying, and there's a dead energy. I like the challenge of getting up there and fucking lighting the place up and trying to, go after everybody and fucking get some goddamn blood pumping in them. I like that challenge. But this is, I didn't have that in me this night. I was tired and out of it, and I was like, I need a laugh up top. I need an audience that can fucking go with me here, because I just don't have, the fire tonight. You know what I mean? I have a book of matches. I don't have a flamethrower. So just fucking help me, audience. Throw some gasoline on this little match here. Let's get a fucking comedy fire going, right? These analogies stink. But I'm in that room. I'm nervous. It's all hipster. It's so hipstery. I mean, that's like a hipster. Besides, like, what was that? I just did that tisk thing again with my mouth. What's that room, that part of Brooklyn where all the hipsters are? Oh, shit. There's this really specific, I mean, Brooklyn in general, but there's a part in Brooklyn that's just infamous. This is like the other, I got like the biggest part of town anywhere in the United States that has this hard of just hipsterism. You know what I mean? Everyone looks like a fucking World War I pilot. I don't know what the fucking deal is. But I don't know. I don't fit in there. Whatever. How long am I going to drag my feet? So there's a wireless mic. I'm like, look at that wireless mic. This is nice. You know, this is some fucking fancy shit. And I get up after, I just did it again. I get up after Ben Branfin, who I love. And he's great, but he's kind of a low end. I don't know. There's nothing to do with anything. I follow Ben Branfin. I like him. He looks like Nicolas Cage in Raising Arizona. And I get up to this mic, and as I've always not done well in this room, there might as well, for the reaction that I got, there might as well not have even been a single person in that room. It was absolutely silent. Again, this is a set, if I'd done it 6 times in a row before this mic, it had done at least well, if not amazing. A couple times it actually legit crushed, maybe twice. Every time I've done it in the last 3 or 4 days, and it gets absolute silence from the opening seconds. Just nothing. And it was one of the first times, and I tried to never... Now I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, what I'm about to tell you. It was one of the first times where I was legitimately angry at the fucking audience. Like, what? After the shit that was getting laughs in this room of just, like, Sesame Street-level jokes... We're getting let. This is what people want to laugh at the Lyric, I guess. In this part of town, these just knock-knock jokes are hysterical. But any structured bit or any other thing I had was, I'm like, really? This has done well everywhere I've done it. And it's, you guys aren't, I mean, I'm not kidding. Like, I never, you know, I do fair to Midland generally. I've come a long way. I still, obviously, you know, I'm not a fucking a killer. I got a lot of work to do. But it's rare that I bomb like this. Even the store last week, I got laughs a couple times here and there. I got a little bit, you know, and that's a tough room. But I mean, to just have utter silence, I wanted to punch every person in that room in the face. I was like fucking furious. And I was like, really? Nothing. None of this is working. I'm like, okay, I'll move on to the next bit. This one got nothing. And I think I had 4 minutes, and at 3 minutes in, I just go, you know what? This sucks. And I just took the mic and put it in a cradle, grabbed my stuff, and walked out of the room. And I was fucking apoplectic outside. I wanted to punch the fucking windows out of the thing. Now, I know,
Luke, didn't you just say you hate comics that go up and laugh at the audience for not laughing? Maybe your jokes just weren't funny.
Yes, I did. But in this case, this time, for that 5 minutes I've been doing, to have done so well, so many times, so many different rooms, so many parts of town in front of so many different people, and to get literally not a fucking sound compared to the jokes that were getting laughs in this fucking room before. I wish I could tell you exactly. I should have wrote them down of stuff that people were laughing at. I was just like, ew. Like, it was awful. Like, mom jokes and shit were just killing in here. I don't know. No one was really getting shit. It's just a bad room. It's a terrible mic. And I don't know why, because it's not a dingy... It's a place that seems like it's conducive to laughter and comedy. It's a nice fucking space, and it's attentive seating that people are... You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what the problem is in there, but it's just fucking oil and water when I'm there. And God was I mad. I tell you, I drove home. I think I was listening to Howard. And it was getting to something I really wanted. I couldn't wait all day to hear this segment. I don't remember one word of it driving home. Like, my head was like a fucking war. I'm like, what did I do? What the fuck happened? Why did it go wrong? Why was I nervous? Why didn't I handle it better? And then I was more mad for not, it was 50-50. Half of me was blaming, just going, well, you did something wrong. Something didn't work and you didn't correct it. You didn't do your job and it didn't go well. And the other half was, I should have just fucking had a meltdown and said, really, you fucking, you're not going to laugh at this? Like, you're going to laugh at all the other fucking garbage that was in here, but this fucking bit here is not going to get one sound from anybody, right? That's what you guys are fucking telling me, you fucking assholes. I should have thrown the fucking mic. I was like, I should have had a complete meltdown and just like Mark Norman style went down in flames and fucking at least walked out with my goddamn dignity. I was mad about that. I'm like, I should have just told him to fucking suck my cock and just fucking leave. I don't know. I was a mess, but God damn, that fucking bothered me so bad. In a way, it bothered me even worse than the store, because at least it's a legitimate room to be nervous in up there, that belly room. I mean, that's no excuse either, but still, I was just like, what the fuck, man? Oh, I was so angry. Fuck, I don't know. But after all that, that's always the way it goes. I have such peaks and valleys. And I was riding high, and I'm like, I'm kicking ass. I feel like a fucking real comic. I'm getting fucking good laughs, even in rooms that are dead. And I'm fucking, you know, I'm pulling it off. I'm making this work. And here we go. The old reality, the old a glass of humble juice. Just straight me right the fuck out. But that was Sunday night. Good Lord, I can't believe an hour and a half. Fuck, man. Now I'm beating myself up. That was the worst mic. That was the worst mic I've done of the year. I know we're only not even a month in, but that was the worst bombing I have had in a long time. Holy shit. At least a good couple months, man. And dozens of mics there. That was, whoa. I mean, to just have absolutely not a sound, dude. I mean, you could hear the fucking cars out on goddamn Silver Lake Boulevard, like, it was ridiculous. And it wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to like, so guys, I was jerking off. And I mean, this was a fucking, this bit's doing good. It's, if I may be so bold, it's a very well-written bit with a lot of stuff going on in it. And just nothing. Oh, what a bunch of hipster. Fuck, I hate that. I wanted to burn the fucking building down. I was so angry. I'm like, fuck you assholes. Again, I know I'm a hypocrite. I just said 40 minutes ago that I hate people that do that, and I try to never be that guy. But once in a while, these get the better of you. It's a fucking war zone out there. Every once in a while, you know, it's fucking... Some nights you eat the bar, some nights the bar eats you, like Sam Elliott says in Big Lebowski. Well, boy, that was never truer. All right, did I miss anything? Let me see. I'm in an hour and a half. How much more of this bullshit do you want to hear, right? It's, I don't think anybody gives a shit. Fuck, I think that'll do it. God, I'm almost at a goddamn Irvine already. Okay. Maybe this time I won't be number fucking 29 on the list and get out of this place at midnight and have to fucking drive all the goddamn way home. I wanted more for this episode. I wanted more. I wanted to explore more stuff, and I got bogged down in details again. And just, it's tough when you're trying to remember all the details of the things that happen. Sometimes I can't bob and weave and throw enough other stuff in to pepper it with non sequiturs, you know what I mean? And things to break it up. It was pretty straightforward. So I'm sorry if it was boring. I hope not. I don't know. If you're still here, thanks for listening. You have a good week? Everybody have a fucking good weekend? What'd you guys do? Everybody get drunk, get laid? What'd you do? Get any fights? Watch any good stuff? You watch anything on fucking television? Oh, I started watching Crashing. I hate Judd Apatow with a vengeance. I don't like Pete Holmes. I think he's obnoxious, and I never thought he was funny. I didn't hate him. I wasn't like he's a piece of shit, because he seemed like he's such a nice guy and shit, but he's just so corny. But I love him on that show. I hate Artie Lang. I'm so tired of Artie and his bullshit and his blubbering and his lying and his just addict hanging on to life by a fucking hangnail excuses. He's every day it's something, because he co-hosts that show with Anthony, and it's just been a disaster. I mean, I don't know what he was thinking signing that guy. What'd you think was gonna happen? But I fucking hate, but I still love Artie on Crashing. Every time he shows up, I'm like, oh, he's great on that show. I love that show, god damn it. And Fitzsimmons wrote on it this season, and so did Ian Edwards, and it's great. You know what? I just realized I'm down an episode. I didn't see that one Sunday, because I was too busy out doing what the character does in the show myself. Out doing stand-up, guys. Just out there swinging on the stages, under the lights, to a bunch of disenfranchised, bored, burned-out people waiting to get up and tell their jokes that are probably better than mine in most cases. I got a weird sense of humor, and doesn't seem to gel with L.A. a whole bunch, but depends what part of town. I do better in certain parts of town than I do in others. What the fuck do you want from me? West Side, not so good. The Valley, I do much better. I don't know. It's more working class than it. I don't know. What the fucking cares? Enough of this bullshit already. So, yeah, I'll see you next week. I'll try to break it up and get into some other shit instead of just talking about my goddamn stand-up, because it's cathartic for me, and it's a nice record of my life at this time. When you go back and listen to, like, a fucking year or two later, you're like, oh, that's what I was doing that week. But, you know, what is it for you? The show's for you. It's just like when I fuck a girl. I don't care about me coming. I want the girl to come, you know, the girl I'm with. I want her to have 20 fucking... I come once, and at the end, and I put it off as long as possible, because it's a nice challenge, and it feels fulfilling to me. To go, look how many times I made her come. It feels great. I'm a people-pleasing maniac. So I want the show to be fucking more, you know, I want it 80-20. 20 feels good for me, and 80 makes you laugh and takes your mind off whatever the fuck and makes you enjoy it. I'm really going down a rabbit hole now. What am I? I'm just having a fucking existential confessional here, I guess. I don't know. All right, I'm almost to the Irvine Improv, so thanks for listening. I'll see you next week. You have a good weekend this weekend, you son of a guns. All right? Get out there and have fun. And when you're sitting at the bar having a good time, just make a little toast to the air to the old Lukester and be like, this is for Luke. This is for Luke from Live in the 405. Cheers to you, Buster. And then you take a swig. And then you know what you do? You take the top part of your... You wipe your arm across your mouth. You know, like a fucking... like a guy that worked on a fishing boat. Just like got his first beer off of being out there on the fucking bay for a week straight, and just like, oh, this beer is gonna be, and they go, and they fucking slug the beer down out of a glass mug, and they go, ah, and they fucking drag their whole arm across their fucking mouth to wipe it away, and there's a big fucking slobbery standing shirt. Give me one of those, will you? And I'll tell you, I will feel it out here in LA. I'll have a little shudder and go, ooh, someone just did that. Like, for those about to rock, we salute you. Another AC/DC reference. Like, for those about to fucking podcast, you took a shot for me. I don't know, I had something going there, and now I'm fucking up. So I'm going to get while the getting's good. I love you.